Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise, oh, praise the Lord. The Watchman Decree, I gave you copies of it, and I think it's beneficial. It's always beneficial to talk to the Lord. It's always beneficial to wait on the Lord. It's always beneficial to love on the Lord. Everything that has anything to do with the Lord is beneficial. We have things to be grateful for, and we should give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name and let His deeds be known among the people. We should... I find myself sometimes having nice times with the Lord, and then I break out of my chair and go into my day rather than maybe just waiting in His presence, you know, not just breaking out. This morning I had forgotten to give Mia her treat, and so I went to get her treat, and I brought the can to the counter, and Mia must have just gotten a new load. She loads up, takes it up to the carpet, and eats it. And before she spit it out on the carpet, she heard the refrigerator door, and she heard me say Mia, and she came running down, and she just spit that food that she was going to eat on the kitchen floor. You know, it wasn't even wet. She's got a nice dry mouth when she carries it. It was just sitting there, and I just laughed because I know she'll go back and get every piece. I'm not worried about that. She's real good about that. But, you know, she broke out of what she was going to do because there was something she liked better. And it sort of concerns me if I do that, because when I get done seeking the Lord, there really isn't anything I like better, and yet off I go. And so, Lord, help me. I want to work on that. But then I realize that we might think, well, you know, you might never leave your chair. I don't know that that would be a problem if I never left my chair. But we do. I know we have things that we have to do. But let's never lose our focus on Him, because we want from Him, we want those overnight things. We want suddenly things. But the thing is that we always have the suddenly thing prepared. Joy comes in the morning. If we go to bed rejoicing in the goodness of God, we don't have to rejoice in troubles that we might have had that day, but God, you're so good, then we can wake up the same way. God, you're so good, and now we've had a good day. Instead of, even Christians have a tendency to hope for the best, but when it looks worse, they expect the worst. Because we don't, without focusing on God, we can't see how it can be better suddenly. That's why I love this story about Hezekiah. Because Hezekiah was a king that came in and he did things right. He pleased the Lord. And he knew to seek the Lord. And even though he knew to seek the Lord and he pleased the Lord, here came trouble. Here came trouble to tell him, hey, what makes you think you'll survive? I've destroyed all the other nations and their gods. Well, here's the deal. Their gods weren't gods. They were wood and stone and stars and sun, and those weren't gods. Those were just what they depended upon, and if you depend upon those things, you're liable to have a train wreck. But Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. At least he knew where to go when he didn't know what to do. Now, if you read the story, you know that he took the gold out of the temple and he took the money and he took all this and he did he did try some other means of success. But when Sennacherib sent his people to talk to him and mocked him and knocked him, and he told the people, don't answer. Don't respond to him. That was wisdom. And the people listened. That was wisdom. And so they didn't respond to him. See you, Donald. Nice to see you again.
Yep.
And so Hezekiah, then they sent a letter to Hezekiah that said, you're going down. And Hezekiah went and spread the letter before the Lord. He said, oh Lord. He didn't waste his time thinking about, or else at least he just didn't mention the fact that, well, I may have gone about this the wrong way. He said, Lord, I want your help. And as a result of him asking the Lord for help, apparently the Lord spoke to Isaiah, maybe? Yeah, the prophet. It was Isaiah at that time. I'm thinking I don't want to get beyond Elijah and Elisha. But it was Isaiah. Isaiah said, well, here's the way it is. Don't worry. You aren't going to have any problem whatsoever. This baby's as good as done. You'll be fine. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Talk about waking up to a sad scene. There were corpses all around, and they just gathered up their stuff and they left. And the threat was over. Overnight. You know, we could use an overnight in our nation. I think you guys, maybe you looked at the dream that Dutch Sheets talked about today, and I love that part about the angel with the battering ram that says, there's four of us and we're ready to break down the doors of the powers of Baal over this nation. We're ready to break them down. We're going to put them down, break them down. But he said to him in the dream, he said, with your permission, we're ready to proceed. Ho-ho! Go for it! Amen? Go for it. Go for it, because the powers of Baal have sincerely, sadly, taken over the minds of people. They've just taken over the minds, and it's like they call righteousness wrong and evil good. You don't want to offend the evil things. Even if you don't really like them, you wouldn't want to offend anybody. We need to quit worrying about offending people, because the name of the Lord is an offense to unrighteousness. We aren't going to help anybody or anything by being quiet. Vicki's reading a book. I got it, and I knew she'd read it first because she's a faster reader than me. But it's a great book about don't go quietly, just laying out what's been going on and how God's given us a voice, I think. We need to do that which is right. What's right is right. It's just right. We were not called by God to make the devil comfortable, or to make those who are being deceived by him comfortable. You always want your jail report, don't you? They had a big roundup, I think, over the 4th of July, so I had a lot of new people. And I had some of those new people that came in, and you could tell they just sort of came in. They think. But God draws them in. I always remind them, you didn't make a decision to come. It wasn't because you didn't have anything better to do. I mean, let's face it. Last thing you want to do is go to church. Maybe. But God drew you here, so here we go. And some of those that came in and kind of tough and kind of, I could never do that and all this and that, had tears running out of their eyes by the time God got done with them. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving in the land, drawing people, convicting people, saving people, encouraging people. I had one ladies' pod that filled almost every chair. 15 of them in there all at once. Listening and singing and receiving what the Spirit of the Lord would have for them. Now, I don't know what he said to them, but I know he was speaking to their hearts, because you can see when the word's going into the hearts. You know, don't ever get such a hard heart you can't hear the Word of God. You know? Don't do that, because it's possible to do that. It's possible to not listen to what God is saying. It's possible to listen more to your circumstances or whatever is going on. It's possible to get more caught up in that than to get caught up in God. But we are a people caught up in God. Right? We want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's all there is to it. That's what we want. We want to be people that are confident. He loved me when I'm up. He loved me when I'm down. He loved me when I was lost. He loved me when I'm found. His love is amazing. In the night last night, I was awakened and got taken care of what I was awakened for, and I got back to bed, and then I started thinking. I don't like to think when I'm trying to sleep. I like my mind to shut down, but if I'm going to think, then I'm going to ricochet my thoughts to God. I'm going to talk to God. And I'm going to come back to talking to God when I start thinking again. And I don't remember what was going on, but something began to burden me. I think it was true. I think I was thinking about something, and I started to feel the burden. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Not at all. And I just was reminded, God, I cast this on you. And I just felt it go away, and then I began to just be overwhelmed with gratitude. Just thankfulness. And all of a sudden, I could remember that, man, oh man, you know, we aren't built for burdens. We aren't built for them. The Bible says to bear one another's burdens. The way we bear one another's burden is we help somebody to put their burden where it belongs. Because we aren't built for it. We just are not built for it. That's why burden bearing kills people. That's why it messes up their health, trying to care them, trying to worry about them, trying to figure them out. That we aren't built for that. Because Jesus, he took them all. In fact, my first thought when I started to feel that settling on me was, oh, Lord, all of these things at once just came and sat on you. Just the strain, you know. It's like it's awful to imagine the nails and hanging on the nails and trying to get the weight off the wrists and maybe pick up the toes a little to take a little weight off the wrists. But the thing is, the heaviness was even more so from my sins and your sins, and our burdens were just like buttoned down on his shoulders. And yet in the midst of that, he's forgiven those people that were doing it. Ah, this week one of the words of the day was about loving your enemies. And I know that. I know that. I've done it on a gentle thing, but on the Bible app, it has this person talking about it, and this person came up with a couple of things that I hadn't thought of. I said, oh, man. Don't just love them. Do good for them. Oh, Lord. Do good for them? Well, that's what he says. So should I figure out an exception to it, or should I go, okay, I'm going to find it. When it got all done, I thought, well, you know, I'm thankful that I know of. I don't have any enemies. But there could be people I don't prefer. But if you pray for them, that would be acceptable. Pray for them. But God is so good. See, that's what the enemy tries to steal from us, God's goodness. If we let up on God's goodness, then we're open to the why God. See, it's like they say, some of the first and the biggest questions that you'll have from somebody that's got a hunger in their heart but a resistance to it is to, well, why does God let all these things happen? I don't know. But I'm not worried about why he lets things happen. I'm going to focus on how he can fix them. Because he can. 185,000 Assyrians, just like that. And the only reason it was only 185,000 was because the angels backed away to praise the Lord. And that was the end of it. You know, I don't think that they enjoyed it. They just did it. No. We gotta fix things for the people of God. We've got to show them. Well, if you know the story of Hezekiah, you know that he was not, I don't know how long after that, when he got sick. And Isaiah came and said, you know, get your power of attorney ready. Get your things in order. Get all that stuff done. You're not going to recover. And so Hezekiah just, oh, Lord, you know I've been faithful to you. Please help me. And before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard, God said, go back and tell him, okay, I'll fix it. I'll give you 15 years. And Hezekiah said, now, what can you show me to prove that I'm going to get better? How about if you just get better? But no. Okay, what do you want? You want the sundial to go back or forward? Oh, it'll always go forward. Let's make it go back. Okay, fine. You know, he was just about well before it moved back, but that's okay. And so now he has a new life and a new thing going. He's feeling pretty frisky, and he invites somebody to look at everything he's got. Look how good I've done. Just look at how well I've done. This time when he got sick, he didn't recover. Not only that, but God said, you know, because you've done this, everything you've got is going to disappear. Now it says that Isaiah said, well, the word is true, but Hezekiah was thinking that all this would happen after he was dead. What kind of thinking is that? Well, it'd be okay for me in my lifetime. You know? Well, think about that. We might sometimes get to thinking, oh, well, everything's good for me. But we should pray, because everything isn't good for everybody. And if everything isn't good for us, we shouldn't be saying, well, look at them, everything's good for them, but look at me. No, we should pray for everybody that's doing well, too. You see, we should pray for one another. Help, Lord, it's a great prayer. Doesn't take long. Help them, Lord. That's a great prayer. Show them, Lord. You know? And don't forget to let those angels go with their battering rams. That everybody might know the Lord, that's what we want. And in our natural mind and even in our spiritual mind, we know not everybody is going to. So then, just because not everybody is going to, we shouldn't give up on it, right? Do you know that somebody was praying for you before you met Jesus? Lots of people you don't even know were praying for you before you met Jesus. we'll have time in eternity to, you know, visit with people about that prayed for us. People prayed for you before you were born. Just like we've prayed for the end of abortion, we've been praying for every baby that lives. We've been praying, and now we're thankful that more are going to live, and you know, we can't get caught up in being afraid, oh, they're going to try to do something to mess that up. They might want to be careful that they don't fight against God. I don't want to be in the way of the battering ram. See, overnight, suddenly, you can change your mind, you can change your thinking, you can change your health overnight. With a prayer. With a trust. Trust in the Lord. And do good. Commit yourself to the Lord. Trust in Him also. He'll bring it to pass. So, can we have faith in a simple word like that? Can we have more faith in that than what the news says, what emails say, what people say? Do we have an answer when people are all worried? Trust in the Lord. You can have compassion while encouraging people to trust in the Lord. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. I had a guy last week, and he had called me the week before, and he was talking about, you know, to listen to people. You know, some of these people, they just think the people are the problem. If we can get rid of all the people, then the earth will be great. And he said, you know, he said, it started to make me feel a little worthless. I said, how in the world did you possibly even have any thought like that? Why would you allow yourself, you are a believer in the Most High, why would you allow yourself to take that on? You must have been listening to that. He said, yeah, I guess I was. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Because he had been excited. There was a verse that said God created the earth to be inhabited. It made him feel good. He made it to be inhabited. How could you doubt that? How could you be away from that? You've been a Christian for 25 years, you know, and it's like, how could this happen? If we listen to the wrong things and we nod our heads in approval to the wrong things, we'll start thinking about the wrong things. But we have a Holy Spirit to let us know we're thinking about the wrong things. So, if we are thinking something like, I don't see how this can possibly improve, we will have a nudge from the Holy Spirit encouraging us, rejoice in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He was built to use them. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord strengthen you to pull your arm away from the lies and the accusations and the bad stories that the enemy said. Just jerk away from him. Get out your battering ram. Take a word from God. I'm with you always. If God before you, who can be against you? What can possibly prosper against you? It may look like it, but you can't believe that. Even when you can't see it, what's going on? He's working. Even when you can't feel it, guess what? He's working. So if we're gonna look at something, let's look at what God might be doing. You know, maybe it's just the people, but get up to the people and look through. Because the enemy will always throw a big curtain open on stuff that doesn't have anything to do with you. But if he can get you to believe it, if he can get you just even to back away from it, if he can get you to just repeat it. Oh, if he can get you to repeat it. Then you not only say it, but you hear yourself say it. Now you got to get out your sword. The sword of the Lord. Because we have always, 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 we have the power of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to have an overnight success. Because our success is in the Lord. And if we stick with the Lord, we'll see the rest. Hezekiah had absolutely no idea how that was going to end. No idea whatsoever. And he was a man, so it would be pretty easy for him after the prophet said, this ain't going to happen, nobody's going to come near you, you're going to be rescued, everything is going to be good. Well, Isaiah did say it. Isaiah had a pretty good track record, but I've had people out counting the number of soldiers, and it's a tough deal. I mean, this is him thinking. This is me reading between the lines, you know, the way that it can go. Or he could just believe and lie down in peace and sleep. He could just believe and say, man, oh man, I wonder how this is going to happen. I just wonder. He could be anticipating. He could be rejoicing over how God works all things together to good to those that love him. Well, I love the Lord. I just can't wait to see how God does it. And the next morning, when the report came, it was like, seriously? Seriously? Yeah, we counted them, 185,000. Corpses? Yeah. 108. That's a lot of corpses. That's a big mess. That's not the time to say to the Lord, look at the mess you've given me, Lord. That's the time to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't plan for worse. Plan for the joy that comes in the morning. Go to bed rejoicing in the goodness of God. Wake up rejoicing in the goodness of God. Before anything else can cloud your mind or cloud your heart, you know. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath I'm able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Have I told you this morning how good you are, Lord? I think, that's what I want to do every morning. But sometimes I'm already out with the coffee ground before I go, God, I haven't even talked to you this morning. I'm fortunate that I lived this long. You know? I must have thought about you, but I can't remember that I thought about you. I know I thought about him. I had to think about it. Well, I was praying at 4 o'clock. Does that count? No, Roger, just get up and praise the Lord. I have to do it quietly because I don't want to wake Vicki up. I know that. I would be rude if I woke her up. You know? It wouldn't be very nice. Get up and praise the Lord, woman. Okay. Overnight. You don't even have to wait for overnight, but if you can have confidence for overnight, then if you wake in the night, you'll know that when you get up, you'll see it. Behold the goodness of God in the land of the living. Behold the goodness of God. You know, last week, Bob and LeVon's roof flipped up and big old inner tube, big old piece of rubber laid up there. And so got around to jumping up there. And praise the Lord, all it did was come apart. The rubber's in good shape. All we got to do is put it back together. Whoa, you know, I saw a piece of your insulation over by the bank. It must have floated into the thing, you know. But But, you know, I mean, it's praise the Lord. God is so good, because there's some roofs that blew up, blew off, blew away, and were destroyed. So thank you, Jesus. See, that's a favor of God. That's the joy of the Lord is our strength. And roll it out there. We might not even need to patch it. God might just keep it there for us, but we'll probably do something. You know? But we can be thankful for what God's already done. See? And we can expect Him to finish the good work that He's begun, and we can expect Him to continue. That's just a small picture of what He's putting together. See, we need to let our imaginations run wild for the goodness of God. Not for the, quote, realities of life, because just because something really looks bad, that's not reality in the kingdom of God. You know how God looked beyond your faults and saw your needs? You know how when you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? He looked beyond where we were to what He could do, and look at us now. Amen. To God be all glory. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. This is a beautiful day because You're God. And because You care. We thank You, Lord, that we will not despair. And we won't hold on to our own care. We'll pass it to You. You were made to handle it. We thank You, Lord, that we can see that things are a mess in our nation, but we decree America shall be saved. And that multitudes of those who are now deceived and led astray, the multitudes of those will have a joy in the morning moment, that they'll wake up and call upon the Lord and be saved. Oh, how great that is. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for, I'm so grateful. I just am. I'm just overflowing with gratitude to You, Lord, for Your kindness to me. Gratitude for a wonderful family and friends like these, that we all together can come together to praise and to give You glory and to encourage one another and to encourage one another to, hey, let me help you with your burden. And we'll throw it on the Lord. And then we'll rejoice. There's so much to be thankful for, Lord. So we just say thank You in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.